Total Access Show.
Touchdown Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here's your host, Scott Ledger.
All right, midweek already. Isn't it funny how things kind of speed up as the season progresses? I mean, if you think about it, you know, training camp seems to take a long time. Preseason games, wow, it's only the second preseason game, and then September, and bam, and next thing you know, one game turns into another, and next thing you know, you're into the third month, which they call the setup month in the NFL. If you want to be playing in January, you better be playing some good football in November. And lo and behold, our Bucks are sitting at 6-3, the chance to go 7-3, and it's Miller time. How you doing, big guy?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good to see you, man. We only do this like once a year. We don't get a chance to sit down and talk to you too often, but what a difference a year makes, huh?
Man, it's a big, big, huge difference from last year, especially, you know, I visited this show last year, and it was a little different feeling than I feel right now.
Our guest at number 90, Roy Miller, defensive tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I kind of like each time I talk to, like, well, I talked to Mike Williams. I talked to anybody who's a rookie on this team, and they're kind of in the middle of the turnaround. You seen it from day one, and you kind of saw it from the middle of last year. But it's got to be kind of interesting, not just because you play alongside with these guys, but it's got to be kind of interesting to see this our offense start to be this little potent thing that's putting up 400 yards a game. It's pretty neat, huh?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's crazy because last year we knew we had a team. And we just didn't know why everything wasn't clicking. And, you know, to go out here this year and to do what we've done, you know, by no means are we done. But, you know, but it's just been exciting to, you know, definitely as a defense to go out there and to know that, you know, no matter what, your offense has your back 100%, 110%.
Get the ball back and score was the kind of the theme from your head coach going in, but now it's taken on two meanings because it was always like, I want my defense to score a touchdown for me. But now when you do get the ball back for us, our offense scores.
Right.
And it's we're not talking field goals here. We're talking here's 50 yards of offense. Here's another 27 yards, big plays, weapons. I actually talked to Mike Singletary today, head coach for the 49ers on a conference call. And I just dropped Ben Williams, Blunt, Winslow on him, and he goes, yeah, we really have to start preparing for a multi-headed war, you know, attack, if you will. So, you know, we're going to talk defense here in a second, but it's, again, you know, and Josh, that's another thing. You know, you both came in the same year. Mm-hmm. You guys knew each other a little bit, and now you get to see this guy be, you know, Captain Comeback, and, you know, people are starting to notice what's going on. So talk a little bit about number five, too.
Man. You know, it's crazy because, you know, like you mentioned, I played against him in college, and I got the chance to see him, you know, doing his thing in college. And so, you know, a lot of times you always wonder, you know, how a guy would transition into the NFL. And, you know, the guy, I don't know, we always thought it was kind of the stars were aligned or, you know, magic or whatever when we played K-State because they always seemed to beat us. But now, you know, I see that, you know, they actually you know, got a great player in Josh, and you know, it's just starting to make a little bit more sense to me now.
Yeah, he's a big guy on the offense, but let's switch it back to this game. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, I kind of feel a little bit. Everybody feels for Albert Mack because I don't know what is if you're on special teams and you're grabbed and pulled into a ball, your special teams coach is going, that's a great play. That's a heads up play.
Yeah,
that really is a heads up play. But is that a penalty in your? I mean, have you been ever told that if you do that, you'll get flagged? I mean, that's kind of like one of those plays that was kind of borderline. I wasn't really sure about it.
Yeah, you know what? I really don't know all the details on that. I really don't. I mean, Mack's a great player, and I know he was very down about that. And I mean, he came back and finished strong in the game, and I'm proud of him.
You guys, the previous series, of course, had pitched. I want to call it 3-and-out because they got a couple of first downs, but then they forced that punt. And the point I'm making here is in the last two games, and you also are a defensive two different halves. It's almost like you put on the cape in the second half. But you guys are starting to get big stops. Now, sometimes big stops is just, here's an example. You know, Carolina gets the ball at the Buccaneer 33, and you guys force a field goal late in the game where you're only giving up 3 instead of 7. So the defense is starting to gel when it comes to getting off on third down, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
And this team is just, you know, every game I feel like we're you know, even more developing our mentality and just our, you know, our personality. And so, you know, just to go out there and do the things that we do, like, you know, the, like the shutout on the goal line. And,
yeah. I want to talk about that too.
Yeah, the field goal. You know, I mean, all that stuff, you know, it just breeds confidence within the defense. And it just really makes you feel like, you know, this team, this defense in particular, is getting better every week.
When you look at it, you're always going to look at your game film and your individual coaches, like your D-line coach and the linebackers coach, and then your overall defensive coordinator, which is your head coach, kind of will grade things out. So you'll see, hey, you know, I missed my gap here. I should have had contained there, yada, yada, yada. But you're also seeing, wow, this guy's an athlete. Look at Dakota. You know, Watson on the line of scrimmage. Look at Roy Miller run parallel line of scrimmage. Yeah. You guys are starting to feel the potential, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We got a lot of weapons, and it's always exciting, you know, to see the different packages that, you know, Rye has for us. And, you know, because you always want to know, you know, which way are we going to use, you know, the guys that we have. And, you know, Coach Rye's been doing a great job, you know, just – finding different ways to you know, attack other teams. And it's just been exciting to be a part of this defense, you know, for that reason.
I was just going to ask you, it's got to be kind of a fun defense to play, because sometimes it's 3-3-5, sometimes it's just, right, you know, basic, sometimes it's – I saw a couple of plays where everybody was standing up, you know, like looking like the Steeler kind of D, where you know you don't know who's coming, you don't know who's dropping. So it's got to be kind of a fun D to play in.
Yeah, I mean we got all kind of defenses and just different ways to attack, and it's just, you know, like you said, it's fun because, you know that, you know, Rye has something for you no matter if you're a D-tackle or a backer or, you know, any from every position. We have different things where we all have opportunities to make plays, and it's just exciting to know, you know, that, you know, you have your opportunity.
Yeah, last year you guys were about 0-7, maybe 7-1 at this time. Now you're in the thick of it. This is the first time in your career. As a pro, of course, you've played meaningful football games this late into the season. So how's that feel?
I mean, I'm still trying to grasp it all right now. And, you know, I probably won't. I probably just have to play this whole year out and look back at it later. You know, but, I mean, it just feels good to know my team the way I do right now. And, you know, the way that we feel about each other and that we're steady, you know, developing our mentality and it just feels good. I mean, if you know, when you really know guys and you feel like everybody's on the same page as far as getting better and you know, just gelling with each other on and off the field, I mean, it just feels good.
That's defensive tackle Roy Miller. Want to talk to him? Get on the phone lines, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. You can get in on any one of those. We've got open lines for you right now. We'll be talking a little bit later on the San Francisco 49ers. And you know, the toughest thing for you guys this year has been stopping a run. Mm-hmm. And this week I looked, and yes, you had 100 yard back, but you only gave up 118 yards total. So you're starting to, you know, it's kind of like when you turn the faucet off, it doesn't shut off completely all at once. It takes a while. So you guys are starting to dial that in. What are you guys doing better? What are you guys doing better?
I don't know. I mean, I just think, you know, we're getting our fists together. We're making more tackles. And just guys are just becoming more and more familiar with the defense. And, I mean, this defense has, you know, been doing a good job. But, I mean, you know, you really look at a game and you see, you know, the big plays, you know, like a 20-yard run, a 30. I mean, those things add up. And we've had our share of those, you know, whether it be, you know, a missed tackle or, you know, just a technique issue or whatever. I mean, you can see that things can really get out of hand. And so, I mean, I think eliminating the big plays has been a big thing for us, you know, making that tackle, being in the right position, and just guys are being more comfortable and just doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, Barrett was saying the same thing today. He was saying when you look back on the film, he goes, most of the time – because someone asked him, why is it you guys are better in the second half? Because we're simply not making as many mistakes in the second half. That's really – so when you guys are coming out, is it just that you're going back to fundamentals and you're – you know, bottom line, you made a tackle or, you know, you didn't let that guy get your outside edge and you maintained the gap and you kind of turned him back into – is it just the fundamentals sometimes you guys are forgetting about?
I mean, I wish I knew exactly what it was, but what it is, but – I don't know. It's so crazy because you look at it and you see, you know, like you said, we go out there the second half and you know, shut a team down. And you're like, you know, why couldn't we do this, you know, the first half? Or why didn't we do it? And, you know, it's, you know, those times, those types of situations kind of drive you crazy. But, you know, you can see the potential there to be a better defense, to be, you know, a great defense. And so, you know, we just got to put everything together, whether it be in the first half, whether it be just one play, you know, in one series. I mean, we have to be on the screws of everything, as Ross says, and just got to continue
perfect
to get
better. Example, and before we go to break, is Aqib Talib in the series where, you know, the runner makes a really heads-up play. You guys have him shut down. He literally cuts it all the way back. Aqib's 25 right. yards downfield. You know, with Steve Smith, he's got his back turned into play. He's right. playing man coverage. Turns around, peeks, sees it's a run. That's what old coaches would say, buck ball. That is like, and he dropped the guy for a one-yard loss.
That's crazy.
I mean, and then that's two plays time. Later, he does what he does well, undercuts a route, you know, gets the ball, bats it down. I was going to ask this question today in the locker room. You know, sometimes it's just about making plays.
Yeah.
You know, it's just about making plays. It's about, you know, shedding a tackle, or it's about, you know, turning around just in time to see the ball and that kind of. Is that what you guys are seeing when you look, when you on Monday mornings when you look? And I don't want to, you know, we won a game here.
Right.
You know, let's not forget you guys are 6-3. Yeah. I'm just, you know, I'm basically, you know, we address everything that's going on this team. And before we talk about some of the great, you know, individual performances from guys like Rondé Barber and stuff, but, you know, we got to make sure that we realize that we, as your coach says, we can always get better.
Right, exactly. Better. I mean, that's something that we look at and we've been very focusing on in the D-line room is that, you know, Coach Wash been doing a great job coaching us in this way is that, you know, if, you know, let's say somebody breaks and it's not our gap, well, you know, as a defensive line, we should be, you know, we should have a, you know, I think that the big thing about this is being in shape. You know, you got to be in good shape to be able to, you know, throw your guy and get back into the A gap to help out, you know, somebody else that may have made a mistake. And so, you know, like the play, you know, Key made, maybe somebody wasn't in position, but, you know, you got to take it upon yourself to be like, man, I'm going to fill in for that guy and I'm going to make this play. And so those are some things that come with, you know, being a, you know, maturing in the league and in the NFL. And so, you know, we got guys in the D line that are working towards doing that, and it shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be like, you know, one missed tackle and it's going 20 yards. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be like that.
That's right.
It should be other guys there to help out a teammate. You know, everybody's gonna make mistakes, and you know, you shouldn't come out the game, you know, with, you know, two mistakes, feeling like you lost the game, you know, for the whole team. And so that's something that we've really been focusing on, and just as a team playing together. And like I said, that comes with time and just maturing and conditioning. You got to be in, you know, in the right shape and
stuff.
How
many snaps you playing? How many snaps you playing right now?
Close to 40.
Yeah.
Your man Gerald is playing.
I know, he's up there.
Getting a big play, so.
I know. Well, actually, you know, Gerald had said the same thing. He said there were times when the first four games he was simply thinking too much, like, okay, I'm in my gap, now what? Instead of I'm going to win my battle and I'm going to, you know, make havoc. But he also said something about, you know, if I'm winning my battle and really winning my battle, I'm going to look, you know, does anybody else need help here?
Right.
Or I'm going to reach back and maybe get a gap and a half, that type of mentality. So that's exactly what you're talking about. It's not just you. It's not just him. It's Styles. It's Kyle Moore. It's anybody who's playing up and down that D-line that is doing that. The Bucs are 6-3. You got a chance to go 7-3. You do know that. I know you guys don't think too far ahead. But I was saying this to Jeff Ryan today. You go 7-3, and even 500 ball from that point on is going to get you 10 wins. So, again, this is, you know, it's almost like, you know, there's that level of 6-4 is okay, mm-hmm. but 7-3 is so much better, even though it's a one-game swing.
Man.
So it's almost like, before we go to break here, every one of these games seems to have the same importance going in as the one before, doesn't it?
Exactly. I mean, I think Coach Rob's been doing a great job explaining that to us and, you know, just letting us know that, I mean, the next game is most important. And that's one thing I like about this team is we're so focused on the next game or maybe the next play in practice or, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're so focused on getting better and doing the little things right that, you know, all, you know, next week ain't even in sight, you know, and we want to just get better and do the little things right. And I just think that starts up top. You know, coach has been doing a great job, you know, keeping us focused on that week and letting us know that, you know, this game right here is the most important because it's the next one.
Roy Miller wants to talk to you. Get on the phones, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. We're getting ready to actually head out west again. We did great last time we went out there. The team left the day early, kind of get a little bit more accustomed to the time change. And we took care of business against the Arizona Cardinals. This time around, it'll be the 49ers. Now, since they're leaving early, that means there'll be no Buccaneer Access, a Total Access show on Friday night. But there will, of course, be a Josh Freeman show tomorrow night. I'm Ledge, coming back with Roy Miller right here on Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, Buccaneers Total Access. It is Wednesday night. I'm glad you're sitting down with number 90, big defensive tackle, second year. Not quite the veteran. What are you going to be a veteran after this year? When are you considered a veteran? Third year?
I guess third year.
Like five games into your third year, something like that? Yeah. I got to ask you. And by the way, stand by, Phil. We're coming to you next. But Jeff Ryan brought up something really interesting. And early in the game, it looked like Rude came right up the middle, nice eight-gap blitz. But it looked like you got to the quarterback a little sooner. You drop him. He kind of comes in late, and he gets the sack. What happened there?
Oh, I don't know. You know, it bothered me. You know, I just want a piece of it. You know, give me half. But, you know, it's Rude. This is, you know, big year for Rude, so I let him take that.
Yeah. Did you watch? Do you watch film at the same time, or do you watch film in the D room and they watch in the LB room on Mondays? Do you all watch the whole game together as a defense or
no? No. Sometimes we do, but this time we didn't.
Because you definitely should have given him some crap on that one.
You know, Coach Wise said he turned it in to the NFL, so hopefully I get a little piece of that.
Split one down the middle for you?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be nice. I got to ask you, you know, the reason I asked you the veteran question is sometimes if I were to sit here and interview, you know, Ike Hilliard or Joey Galloway or Derek Brooks or all these people that have been some of what they do is a grind. It's just – and Rondé even said it in his interview. He said, you know, playing 200 games, it can seem real spectacular when you run out the tunnel. He goes, but a lot of my NFL career is grinding it out. But you guys seem – you know, I get a chance to watch a little bit of practice here and there, and it's not just because you're 6-3, but it seems like you guys enjoy – I don't mean the rigors of practicing – but it seems like there's a lot of unity out there. There's a lot of guys busting some. There's a good inner competition between. I'm not talking about liking practice. I'm just talking about. Doesn't seem like it's a grind yet for you guys.
No.
Or is it? Don't. No. If it is.
No. You know what? I haven't felt like that yet. You know. Last year. In any season, you know, you kind of get to a point where you feel like, you know, you start looking towards the end. You know, towards the end of the season, and so. I haven't got to that point yet, and, you know, I guess I don't know if it's the winning or what it is that, you know,
probably making. Probably that. Certainly don't hurt.
You know, we got, you know, things to look forward to, and I think, you know, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. We're so focused on that week and what we got, you know, right now that, you know, the other things aren't really inciting. So, you know, we keep focusing on each week, and I think it's really going to come to a point where we're going to look up and we got one more, you know, regular season game left, and then it'll be like, wow, what's next?
Playoffs, baby. Playoffs, baby. You got it. Hey, yeah. Get on the phone lines. We'll talk to Phil in a second. You can get in right behind him at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Going all the way out to San Diego, some very loyal Buck fans, hardcore listeners to the show. Phil, welcome. How you doing?
How you doing, Mr. Roy Miller?
Good, Phil.
Pleasure talking to you. I just want to give you a couple of quick comments and a question. I just want to say I've been watching the defensive line throughout the week, and you guys are definitely improving, so I just want to say keep it going, and as long as you guys keep racking in those wins, that's all that really matters. I just want to give you kudos, too, for playing both sides of the ball. And my question is, how'd you get that job being that fullback? And before I go, when they do feed you that rock, I know you're going to get that touchdown. You know what I'm saying? I'm a true Bucs fan. And Ledge, I got three guys, solid Buccaneers at my bar up in North County, Jumping Turtle. So
nice.
It's growing, my brother. It's growing.
That's right. Exponentially, man. By every time the Bucs get a win, you'll probably have another two or three people show up.
We're winning them over. But I just want to say, Roy, keep it going. And I know you guys know what it takes to win. And I really don't have questions for you because I know you guys got good coaching staff. But I do want to just say good luck up there here in West Coast San Diego, or I should say San Francisco. But when you are up in San Diego, I got a California burrito, buddy. So good luck this weekend.
He's going to feed half the team because he calls a lot. He's a big-time hardcore Buck fan, and he's got half a restaurant promised to you guys. So make sure you take him up on it.
You need to get those directions.
Yeah. Do you find the traveling a day or a little early helps you guys in sleep cycles and things like that, or no? Yeah, no?
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to Seattle last year, I think it's been great, you know, going there a little early. You know, it definitely gives you time to adjust and just to get used to, you know, being in a different, you know, the opposite side of the map, and, you know, just to get accustomed to the time and everything. And so I think it's great going out there.
Let me ask you about that force. You know, it's kind of weird. It technically did play into the game. If you didn't stop Carolina, they still had a chance at an onside kick. They would have had to have scored a touchdown, 8 points, two-point conversion. In other words, even with 50-odd ticks left in the clock, this game was still on the line.
Yeah.
And you guys get them down there. They got no timeouts. They decide they're going to throw a pass. I thought they were going to throw all four downs. I figured since with no timeouts.
Right.
But they decide they're going to run it. Not yeah. once, but twice. Two yeah. different quarterbacks. Was it Al Woods that was in with you? I'm trying to, because I saw you in on it.
Yeah, Gerald.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah. Okay. Give me that. Was it the second down or the third down play? Yes, third and fourth down.
The quarterback ran right
yeah,
up
yeah.
the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seemed a little chippy down there, to use a hockey phrase. seemed like there was some attitude flying around there. You guys were not going to let them in, were
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Me and Al down on the goal line. Yeah. Nah, I mean, I've always, that's one thing I pride myself just, you know, on being down there on the goal line because it's just like man on man, you know. It's the ultimate test, you know, and you know, as a D tackle, you gotta love that. I mean, there's nothing better than being one, you know, man on man.
Well, you lost to this team. You lost to this team twice last year.
Yeah.
Last year was a 200 some odd yards running.
This
had to be pretty good. I mean, like I said, you still gave up a buck 18, but last year it was 220 something from two backs. So. That we're really obviously we've turned the corner, but there was we don't like you in this. You know, there was the rivalry. I looked down, I was like, man, there's a rivalry down there. So sounds like you guys and the Panthers aren't going to. And by the way, congratulations on the sweep. That's the first time you've swept that team since 2002.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like you said, I mean, they've embarrassed us, you know, plenty of times, and so you know, it was good to have them down there and shut them out.
Let me go back to the Atlanta game. most guys say it left a bad taste in you. Right. You feel the same about that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, especially, you know, being a fullback down there on the goal line, I just had so many parts in the game. And, you know, you always just wonder if I would have done this or that, you know. And so we felt like, you know, play here, play there, we would have the game would have turned out differently. And so, you know, we're looking forward to the next meeting.
And let's kind of carry the story because early in the season it was like, oh, they beat the Browns or they're looking, this team doesn't have a winning record. But, you know, 4 days later, they beat the Ravens.
Right.
And you're a young team, so it's hard to gauge whether you're good or not. You look at your record, you know, you put the blood, sweat, and tears on the field. You know you had to put the effort in. But you're still kind of like, we beat who? What are they? Mm-hmm. Browns end up beating the Saints. They beat the Patriots. They take the Jets to overtime. They're the best three-win football team around. So the point I'm getting is you feel the respect that you're owed is you're starting to get it, not just from – well, I don't know if you'll get it from the media because they're going to sell controversy one way or the other. But
right.
But within the locker room, is it's starting a little bit more of a swagger, I guess, is a good way to put it. Confidence?
Yeah. I mean, we – some of the teams that – that we played. I mean, every game that we win is big time, and you know, it's the NFL, and you know, games are you know, can, you know, anything can happen on Sunday. You know, like just like last year when we beat the Saints, you know, Super Bowl team, the Super Bowl, you know, the guys who won the Super Bowl. And so, I mean, anything can happen, and to walk away with the game with the win is, I think, is big time. And you know, you can look back and say, you know, Atlanta, you know, beat all these people, and you know, I think that does do something for you. And but you know, just to win these games, winning all these games has done something for us. And you know, no matter who it was, you know, we're 6-3, and we're going to keep moving.
Last week was one of the first times. A couple of weeks prior, when you had come from behind wins, you guys in the defense more or less protected. You didn't protect a lead. You kept the team from scoring any more points until we came back. But this was the time that you were actually playing with a lead from the very first touchdown right, all the way to the end. So is there a different, you know, when you come away from that game, it's one of the few games this year that you guys have had to protect the lead going in. So, again, it's an accomplishment. It's almost like something different you check off as a defensive unit. But you want more of that, don't you?
Right. And this is what we've been talking about for this quarter of the season, just being more consistent and coming out, you know, fixing some of the things that that have been our problems, and just being more consistent. Like, you know, you see the offense in the second half, you know, just going, doing whatever they want to do.
Almost at will now, which
exactly.
is fun. It's fun
That's
to watch.
Crazy.
It
yeah.
is fun to watch.
It is.
Yeah.
And the defense as well. I mean, we have our, you know, halves that we do what we want to do. And so, I mean, we've been talking about being consistent and definitely jumping out ahead on teams. And that's just something that I feel like we talked about, you know, before last week, you know, heading to Carolina. And I feel like, you know, guys had that on their minds. And I feel like we're going to try to be more consistent here.
Coach says hard,
weeks.
Fast, smart, consistent, right?
Yeah.
He's always harping that. I mean, you hear it a lot in his press conferences. Let me ask you about some of the guys you play with. And I'm kind of really impressed with the football instincts of Cody Grimm. He's really fun to watch. I mean, because he's not the prototypical body type for the position he's playing.
Yeah.
He's almost a little squatty looking. He's like a tweener.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I mean, isn't he? This is a guy that's making open field tackles that are difficult tackles, textbook.
Right.
I mean, I remember him dropping Ocho Cinco.
Exactly. And, it just popped in my
head,
too. Yeah.
And he's fun to watch, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I mean, you know, the guy, you know, coming in, everybody, you know, wanted to blame the game on him. And, you know, they had all kind of issues about him when, you know, he actually had a good game. And, you know, to see, you know, him turn, I guess, all the disbelievers and swaying everybody to like him, it's been good. You know, I think, you know, him going in the seventh round, everything about him is about being an underdog. And I think
– I love that.
Yeah, I like that, too.
That's Rudy, you know? Man. You know, it's like the Rudy story,
yeah,
literally.
Rudy.
You know, it literally is. Don't call him
Start
Rudy.
Start calling him Rudy.
I don't want to give him that nickname. But let's go to the other side of that coin. Let's talk about a guy who just played his 201st game. And, you know, I mean, you know, you're in your second season. You're getting knocked around.
Yeah.
This guy's sticking his head in the A-gap, Rondae Barber. This guy's blitzing quarterbacks. This guy's he made a play last week where he looked like he was blitzing, and then he broke off, covered a guy in the flat, and batted a pass down and made it look textbook. So, you know, give me some of your insight on 2-0.
I'm trying to figure out when he's going to retire. You know, he looks like he has 4 or 5 more years left in him, and that's crazy. I mean, it's – number one, it's an honor to be on the field with somebody that, you know, talent and has been in this league that long. And, you know, that guy, I mean, it's crazy just watching him make plays. I mean, he's shooting gaps, knocking, you know, these young running backs out and down.
Did you see the play where he trailed, was it Jeff? Didn't he trail a play like all like 30 yards along the line of scrimmage and make the play completely from behind?
Yeah.
I mean.
He plays like his hair's on fire.
Does he get fiery in the huddle?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's definitely a motivator, and you know, I mean, he talks to us. You know, he gets us fired up.
And, plays nice and PO'd. He looks
yeah,
PO'd.
Yeah, I mean, he play.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way that he plays, man. I really look up to him for that.
And you know, let me ask you about some of the younger guys. You know, and someone else in the last couple of weeks kind of, you know, stepped up. And I was watching Dakota Watson, of course, with Quincy getting hurt. it's always the next man up. You know, that's kind of like, you know, we were just talking about Cody Grimm's story, next man up, next man up. And here comes Dakota. He looks kind of aggressive up and down the line of scrimmage. Looks like he's got a little pass rusher in him.
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, that guy has tremendous speed. I mean, it's crazy seeing that man run around and just seeing him develop. I mean, he's been out there, you know, and doing what we've been seeing in practice, you know, for the last couple months.
I think he leads the team in special teams tackles, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you get to see him in special teams making all those plays, and you're like, man, I can't wait to see him, you know, do this on defense. And like you said, that's exactly what he's starting to do, starting to, you know, pick up on plays and everything, and he's starting to do well out there.
Getting instinctive. We're going back to the phones, out to Riverview. James, you're on with Roy Miller on Buccaneers Total Access. How you doing tonight?
What's up, Roy?
Hey, Jay.
Who's that guy on the defense that's constantly competing with Josh and, like, maybe has some little smack talk in between, you know, and, like, constantly getting after each other?
What do you mean?
Which team are you speaking with, James?
Like, in practice, I'm a...
Oh, it was crazy. We all kind of mess with Josh. I mean, he's a pretty, approachable guy, and... No, we all kind of have our fun with them and talking trash with them, and so it's pretty much across the board. Everybody's getting a piece of them here and there.
You know, the thing about smack talk is some people make it part of their game. Some people don't even realize they're doing it till later on. Mike Williams, by the way, was mic'd for NFL. So you know, it's amazing some of the stuff that we'll never hear.
Yeah.
but would you ever let them mic you? Would you ever let them mic you up to play a game?
You know, I got a couple more games mic me up. I'm still trying to. I mean, everything inside is kind of hairy, you know, and it's kind of wild, and so you know, I'm still getting my everything down, and you know, after a couple more games, you know, I'm probably. You're not gonna be able to mic me up. kind of get a little bit into the game, you know.
Sure.
Once everything slows down to my speed, which is coming soon. So.
You got it. That's Roy Miller. We're coming back. Taking more of your phone calls. Got one open line in Hillsborough at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS, San Francisco up. By the way, of course, the game's been moved to 4:00. That means our pregame. The local pregame on The Animal will come your way at 1:30 Sunday afternoon. The network pregame at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock kickoff. Bucks are trying to get to 7-3. Yeah, I said it. I'm not going to say trying. I said the Bucks will get to 7-3. How's that sound? Coming back with more of your Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Well, part of what I said was right. The San Francisco game is still a 4 o'clock game, but that's not the one that was moved. The one that was moved is the Baltimore game the following week. We'll worry about that when we get to it. But then again, that will be a 4 o'clock game. We're back with Roy Miller right here on Buccaneers Total Access, taking your phone calls. 813-990 or 727-461. We're going to Steve. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Steve.
Roy, I have two questions for you. First one, as a defensive lineman, I know, you know, from year to year the team melds together and you learn to work with your teammates better, but do you try to add, like, a new technique or add different weapons to your arsenal from year to year? And then the second question I had for you, I don't know if you can help me out on this or not, but on special teams now with not being able to set up the wall or the wedge anymore, why do the up back or the guys up front turn around and surrender 15 or 20 yards before they start blocking? And I'll hang up and listen to your answers, guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
I better ask Rich Bisaccia that question. Yeah.
Yeah. I had my part on kickoff return, and I still kind of am. I've had my share of kickoff returns this year, but yeah, that's crazy. I tell you, the better question is, you know, why aren't those guys getting fined for those helmet to helmet hits on kickoff? It's
yes.
Just crazy. But, I mean, I don't know. That's crazy. You know, guys, you know, for whatever reason, that's the way they do it. And like you said, I mean, Coach Rich Bisaccia would be more than happy to come on this show and talk hours about that. But I don't know. And but, yeah, as a D lineman, you do year to year want to improve. I mean, there's a lot of different things that that you can improve on. And you know, most of them are, you know, working with what you got, you know. Somebody like Gerald, you know, McCoy would, you know, hit this off season and want to work more on his strength. Not saying he's not, you know, weak
sure.
or nothing. I mean, he's pretty.
You're always looking to get better.
Strong.
Yeah. Get better. You know,
exactly.
Whatever the skill set is, if you need to work something, work
right.
on it. Yeah, sure.
You know, me, you know, I might want to work more on my speed. And so, you know, all of those things make you just a complete player. And, I mean, just playing D tackle in this league is just it's crazy. It's a big difference from the college. It's a big changeup as far as technique and skill. I mean, it's kind of like you learn everything all over again. And so, you know, to watch Gerald, you know, play like he's played, you know, knowing how I came in last year as a rookie, it's just it's exciting because he's come in here and he's been doing very well. And so, you know, but yeah, you definitely there's definitely things you can improve on.
Yeah, you
as
work.
A D-tackle.
Let me ask you, if you know, if you're required to run a stunt, you know, let's say an outside stunt or something, you know, it's not like you can work on your spin move there. In other words, you
yeah.
have responsibilities that, you know, that type of thing. But
exactly.
but if you get in those situations more often, and this is the success of first and second down, is when you get in third
right.
and long. And you not really – I mean, every once in a while you'll see a draw play. Hey, we scored a wonderful touchdown on a draw play in a third
right.
and long. But every once in a while you're going to actually get a chance to just rush the passer and
yeah.
not even have to worry about that. But that means you're successful on first and second down, stopping a run. So
exactly.
it's kind of like one – success at one thing rewards the other.
Exactly.
So you have been. You know, this last game we saw the quarterback get, you know, flushed out of the pocket. Jimmy Clausen a couple of times, you know, literally threw the ball out of bounds, ran
right.
out of bounds. So you guys are starting to get that. But it's all about really getting the opportunity, isn't it? It's not
exactly.
like you can't pin your ears back when it's third and three. You can't.
Right.
You get third and nine, you can.
And, I mean, you see a lot of these teams that, you know, have all these sacks. It's because they're getting up on teams and they're staying up there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now you got the quarterback back there. You know, he's trying to force throws and you know, he's not sure what to do. And you know, and taking more toll in the ball a little bit longer, and those sacks are coming. And so, you know, everything works together. And you know, we got to stop the run. And you know, we got to do some things to be able to let the blitzes run wild.
Well, everybody, most people that follow the NFL, Roy, know who Frank Gore is. The San Francisco 49ers are one of these teams we don't know a lot about because they're a West Coast team. We don't see them a lot, but they
right.
certainly have talent. Vernon Davis is a stud. Michael Crabtree is a stud. They have weapons. But let's talk a little about Gore. He never leaves the field, man. First down, second down, third down. He's in there all the time.
Yeah, he does it all, and he's definitely on our, you know, one of the ones that we're very concerned about. And like you said, I mean, he can do it all. I mean, it's one of, you don't really get too many of those guys that can really do it all, but he can, and so you know, it just makes him that much more of a threat.
Yeah, and he's you know, great at pass blocking. He can pick up blitzes. You know, he's a third down receiving back. He can break tackles. He can run between the tackles. When you guys were looking for incremental improvements in stopping the run. It doesn't get any easier every week. It's almost like just about the time you go, okay, yeah, we're getting better at this or that, or this is mm-hmm. suddenly you look on the schedule and along comes Frank Gore. But how do you think you guys could get off to do you think it's maybe a special teams where you can pin them back? Because it's a young team. I mean, you know, they're coming at you with Troy Smith, a quarterback.
Right.
It's not like you're facing a Hall of Famer there. You guys are getting up early in a game for the defense can come about. I mean, take me through the fundamentals, okay? First, you know, we're going to get off on first down. Sure, we're going to do
exactly.
well. But, you know, what's it going to take for you guys to, like you said, first quarter and second quarter look just as good as the third quarter and fourth quarter?
Right. Number one, I mean, we got to stop the run. I mean, if they can go out there and just run the ball and just keep, you know, eating the clock away, then, we'll never get to, you know, a game where we can compete. You know, it'd just be, you know, them controlling the clock and just killing us that way. And so it's always we always gotta stop the run, and then we gotta get off on third down. Once we get in that situation, we can't allow you know, a quarterback to continue a series. I mean, you just can't allow that. You know, we got to get off on third down. I mean, I think once them two things get in rhythm, then I think we got a ball game.
Special teams seems to be such a great, you know, it's kind of like the spark. Last week we really didn't need it. Last week offense was playing well, defense did a great job. Special teams didn't exactly play spectacular, but
right.
The week before when we did need it, you know, Michael Spurlock goes off for over 200 yards and return yards. This could be one of those games, again, where we might need some big plays from special teams, whether it's Mo Stovall getting a hand on a kick or someone returning a kick. It's a huge part of this team's identity, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think one thing that kept us in a lot of games last year was special teams. You know, we blocked a whole bunch of kicks and returned a couple touchdowns and stuff like that. And I think it was big time for us, and I think it's nothing more than a bunch of young, hungry guys, you know, just out there playing and playing for the team, playing for whatever reason, is what I think makes you do well on special teams. And so, yeah, I mean, we were in a situation last week where, you know, we may not have needed them, but to play, you know, like they can't, like they do, but no, the good thing about them is they can play at a very high level, and we do not. I mean, I expect them, you know, every game to do that. I mean, if not, you know, we got to pick it up as a defense or an offense.
It can be defined so many different ways, though. It's, you know, it could be a kickoff return, it could be a block kick, it could be what Sabby Piscatelli did the other day and down a punt all the way at the one.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of those individual plays that add up over special teams over an entire game. Hidden yardage, you know, it could be as much as 100, 150 yards in hidden yardage in a close football game.
Right.
All right, we're going right back to the phones, and it's Warren. Warren in Lakeland. Welcome to the show, Warren.
How you doing?
Doing great. Appreciate the call. What you got?
Roy, I just wanted to – well, actually, you were talking about special teams, and I do want to make a shout-out to Michael Spurlock. And how does the Kyle Williams – final run to seal the deal at the end of the Carolina game make you feel?
Yeah, you must have been having fun watching that one.
Yeah, Warren. I mean, it felt great, man. Like I said, I've been feeling real good watching this offense to work, and because you just know they can do whatever they want to do, and watching Cadillac and Blunt just embarrass other teams. I mean, being able to run the ball like they do, and I mean, it's just humiliating, and it just eating that clock up like that, I know how that feels. You know, I know I've been on the other side of that, and so, you know, it feels good to see them play and play at a high level, and just to see, you know, the O-line blocking the way they do, and everybody just working, you know, well together.
It's nice to see some of the play calling too. It's great to see that Greg Olsen is getting a little love in the local press here, because the last two or three games, it's just, I think he's really kept defenses off balance. I mean, just the little timeout play, you know, Josh Johnson kind of comes in,
yeah.
Freeman standing there on the sideline, looks like he's just drinking his Gatorade. Suddenly he walks off, quarterback takes the ball, quick 12-yard run to the right, comes back off, flea flickers, reverses. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this should all be gimmick plays, but it's really getting to, you know, it's like you got all these weapons, let's use them. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
What can you say about Ole? You got to practice against him, so yeah.
Yeah, he's doing his thing, man. I mean, you can't say one thing about that offense. They're doing whatever they want to do. The calls that they're calling are right on point. I mean, they're scoring. It just seems like right when you expect them or want them to score, that's, you know, you're thinking, man, we need to score. That's exactly when they do it, and it's just been so fun to watch them and just to be a part of this team.
Success, breeds confidence, breeds success. It's kind of like it builds its own thing. And to see Josh Freeman, you know, you've been around him since day one. When he came in here last year, you were both rookies, and he's kind of like you. I mean, you guys are animals on the field. You're a little soft spoken when you come off the field, but with everything he's had to absorb, and you know, and watching him make calls at the line of scrimmage, and really watching that poise, He's, yeah, it's exciting as Buck fans see this happen, and we don't want to get so excited that we blow it out of proportion. Mm-hmm. But I think we're seeing the beginning of greatness here.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah, I was just sitting there on the sideline the other day and watching him. I was just thinking to myself, this guy might go to the Pro Bowl this year. I mean, he's been playing that good. I mean,
quarterback rating's over 90 now, by the way.
That's crazy. Yep. And
it was under 60 last year.
That's crazy.
When he finished. Yeah.
That's crazy. And so, you know, that guy has nothing but potential. And, you know, it's just crazy to watch him because he just has so much poise. You know what I'm saying? He's sitting back there and just, you know, as relaxed as he can be and just doing whatever he wants to do. And, it, you know, when you look at that as you know, standing, you know, on the defensive side, you're just like, man, this guy has all the confidence in the world. And so, you know, he got our back, you know, and so we can go out there and play, you know, aggressive and do what we need to do and knowing that, you know, Josh has our back.
What's this side? Let's say you're either up by five or down by five. You're in a tight game pretty much every game you've been in.
Right.
What's the side like, sideline like? What's the vibe like around, like, late third quarter, fourth quarter?
It's just keep playing. You know, I look at guys and you know, we don't even got to say anything. We just know. We've been in situations enough to know that.
It's a young team, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this year, last year, I mean, we've been in situations, you know, like the Saints game. I think that was huge for us. We were down, you know, so much. And, you know, as Rock keeps saying, you know, keep playing. And that's what we did. And I think from that point on, like, we realized that, you know, if we keep playing, you know, there's no telling what could happen. And we've been in situations this year to where, you know, I think guys get it right now that, hey, all we got to do is keep playing. And, you know, and good things are happening. The offense will score. You know, we can play lights out if we want. We can decide right now to shut them out, and that's what's going to happen. And it's crazy having that much confidence and because it wasn't there last year, you know.
It's crazy. It's a good combination. And, you know, if I think back to the Spurlock catch, which set up the Cincy touchdown, I also remember the third down stop that got us the ball back. If I think of the Ram drive that where we went all the way down the field and hit Caddy, I also remember you guys had them pinned back and they gave up the ball again. Yeah. So, you know, that continuity that we want to see, score and get the ball back, you know, it would be great if we all get pick sixes and you get a fumble return for a touchdown. But points are points.
Yeah.
And let me ask you something. If you could just look into that crystal ball and see maybe middle of next season, end of next season, I'm trying not to exaggerate when I see that so much potential on both sides of the football on this football team, but I think we're going to scare some people, aren't we? We're going to become a scary team.
Oh, yeah. We got so many young guys, and it's just hard to imagine how good we can be right now because you're just seeing a glimpse.
Yeah, that's
young
what
guys
I'm getting
right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Yep.
You know, so this time, you know, hopefully, you know, a couple games, you know, for here from now, you know, we'll be having the same conversation and you know, talking about how scary these guys are and you know, it's just crazy, you know, that we've improved so much from last year, and I think more of it is just our mentality and, you know, well, you know, key additions, you know, Mike Williams and stuff like that. But, you know, we've improved so much, and so, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing the future of this team.
The defensive backfield, you know, there were a couple of games where they practically carried this team, four pick games, yeah. Aqib with multi-pick games, pick sixes. Following week, it's special teams that goes off. Following week, you guys make some big third down stops. Next week, it's the offense. It's hard. It's like a golf game. You know, you got to get off the tee. You got to hit a decent approach. You got to putt. There's so many different facets that all have to click for it to really start to happen.
Yeah.
But we're seeing it clicking a little bit time here, and I think the defense is really starting to turn the corner too. But you guys have a pretty, you know, tough stretch coming up. You got Frisco on the road. You got the Ravens on the road. You come back for the throwback game, and then you go back to Washington. You guys, in the next 4 weeks, this is really going to be the month that makes it or breaks it for you, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. We got some good opponents, and so I'm looking forward to that. These couple of games just made me think about Washington the other day. We kind of got out of hand for a little bit there.
Are you talking about Vic?
Vic and yeah.
Yeah, why don't we hit a break? We'll come back and talk about that, that real quick. Crazy. Okay, yeah, because I don't think anybody's ever seen a performance like that. But we'll come back and finish it up with Roy Miller. Don't forget, tomorrow night is Josh Freeman. Every Thursday night, the Josh Freeman Show. There'll be no more Buccaneers Total Access for this Friday because they are traveling out to San Francisco. So the team is trying to do that thing to get their biological clock. Hey, it worked for Arizona.
Yeah.
Whatever works, keep doing it. You know, go practice under the trop. Do whatever you got to do, man. Whatever you got to do to get a win. We're coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE at US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
All right, we're getting ready to wrap up the show with Roy Miller. Thanks to everybody who called, but you and I were just talking off, or just before we went to that break, about Michael Vick. You know, it's kind of funny. When Michael Vick played quarterback for the Falcons, Monty Kiffin had a way to spy him, and it really kept him. But that was the problem was back then he wasn't a pocket passer.
Yeah.
Now he's both.
Yeah.
That was kind of sick. From your perspective as an NFL player, that's so impressive to see.
Oh, yeah. I mean – yeah, just playing this game, you get a lot of respect for certain things. And just seeing what he did the other night, that was just ridiculous. Yeah,
threw four, ran for two. It looks like he's got about a 70, 80-yard arm in that thing. If you just – I don't know. I think if you got a running start, maybe you could throw it 100 yards in the air. But
yeah,
he's paid his debt to society, and there's that issue that will always follow him throughout his career. But he's incredibly exciting to watch, isn't
he? Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
As long as you're not playing against him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then you want your ankles right where they are. You don't want no broken ankles trying to chase him around.
Right, he will break my ankles. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, man, it's been halfway through a season for you. You're halfway through your second season. I want to say congratulations because, you know, you were here last year when all the, I guess you could say the turmoil of change was taking place. And now that the ship has changed its course and it's starting to pick up some steam, it's very exciting to see this young football team, this young D-line. Everybody, not everybody's young. I mean, Mr. Rondé Barber's got a couple of wrinkles in him and stuff. But, you know, bright things ahead for you guys, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. And just watching the young guys develop and, you know, myself. And just it's just encouraging, you know, looking over and knowing that, you know, oh, yeah, Gerald, you know, had the same issue. I can talk to him, you know, about the same thing last year. Or,
yeah,
you know, this guy, you know, we all are going through these growing pains and winning at the same time. So it's just been great.
It's kind of tough to, you know, to lose Brian Price. But, you know, next year he comes back fully healthy. It's going to just be a more and more and more stout defense. But it's going to be an exciting finish for you guys. I'm not sure if I'm going to get a chance to talk to you other than just in the locker room before the season ends. But, you know, that race to 10, it seemed like just a phrase that was spit out there at the early part of the season.
Yeah.
And now it's really becoming a reality for a team. And you guys are doing the colors proud. You really are. I mean, there's a lot of hardcore Buck fans that were kind of sitting on the fence because right. There was so much change.
Right.
But now, like you said, you know, the acquisitions are taking place and the players are stepping up. So I just want to say congratulations, man, and keep it up.
Thanks.
You got it. Appreciate it. Everybody who called in tonight, don't forget Josh Freeman. We'll sit down and take your phone calls tomorrow night. That is the Josh Freeman Show. We will hit your airwaves on Sunday at about 1:30, your network at 3, the 4 o'clock kickoff as we take on the 49ers. And we will talk to you tomorrow night right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.